We're going to sing the Amen song again, and I changed the last verse just for you guys. Amen. Churches at that time, and we're going to take a look at one of those this morning, the very first one. This will be Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. John sees Jesus, and Jesus is walking among lampstands, and he has stars in his hands. And the stars are the messengers of the churches. And the lampstands are the churches. Important that you know that before we begin. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, and who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, and your patient endurance. This is a great thing to say to a church. I know you work. I know you labor. I know that you have, here's an important New Testament word. It's a Greek word. Hupomone. It means, hupo means under, and mone means to remain. It is an animal word. If your mule that you're farming with, if you can set the plow deeper and he keeps on going, he has hupomone. These people have patient endurance. No matter what is loaded on them, they keep on going. No matter what kind of pressures they have of the day, they keep on going. That's an important word, and it's hard to put in English. But these people have this. They work hard. And there's nothing you can put on these people that will stop them. Good church. Also, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. Amen. Another tremendously impressive thing to say about a church. This is not an easy thing to do. I've been an elder before. This is the hardest thing that a shepherd of the flock has to do. That is when there's sin in the church, and you have to be the one to go and talk about it. That's a difficult thing. This church as a whole, they don't bear with sin. They know what the Word of God says. At the end of this, he's going to talk about some false teachers. These people know the Word of God. They're picky about the Word of God. And they measure each other up by the Word of God. That's a great thing to be able to do. We shouldn't be able to do that. Should be able to question one another, encourage one another. These people will not bear with evil. When they see it, maybe even when it's just beginning, these people will nip it in the bud. Because what we find out is that we as a church, we rise and fall together. Amen? Did you know that? We do. If there's difficulties in the church, drags the church down. If there's sin in the church, drags the church down. Affects all of us. And so we read this and say, these people, they do the hard things. They know God's Word. They apply God's Word to their own life. And they even apply it to other people's lives so that we all end up in the same place. This same church be meeting somewhere else someday. And a third thing, I know that you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. These people, this is the church at Ephesus. The Apostle Paul went to Ephesus. He had serious life-threatening difficulties in the city of Ephesus. They worship an idol there. The whole city got one religion. And so threatening that religion threatened his life. These people live in a difficult area. But they bear up for Jesus' name. They step up and stand up for Jesus and the gospel. Not an easy thing to do in a place where things are difficult. I was playing on a football team one time. I had a buddy that was like enormously the strongest guy on the football team. This was rare when I was a kid, but so we're practicing. One of our receivers drops a football and he says, "Jesus Christ." Nobody said anything except this guy who walked over and said, "If you need Jesus Christ, I worship him. He's my Lord. If you're just throwing his name around, stop it. He doesn't have anything to do with you missing that pass, you lousy receiver. It kind of changed the whole tone of the game. I felt like inside, I should have done that. I should have stood up when he threw Jesus' name out like that. I should have been the one who did it. And I patted him on the back after practice and said, "Thanks for doing that. I wish I'd done it. I admire you doing it." It's not an easy thing to do. These people live in a place where they worship other things. So there would be a pressure there that we don't really know about. We might be starting to, but they worship with pressure around them, and still they are bearing up and standing up for Jesus' name. Man, here comes the really difficult part for me, because up until now, I think I need to join that church. That's a great church. Working hard Christians, laboring. And they know God's word and stand up for God's word, and they stand up for Jesus' name and for the gospel. Great church. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Wow. You have left your first love, and if you don't repent, Jesus is removing the church. We're talking about going to hell if this happens to your church. If you have lost your first love, that's more important than everything else. You were doing this good and doing this good and doing this good. I've been in lots of churches that didn't even do those things very good. This church is doing those things well, but they have lost their first love. Come back to that. I have this I have, that you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So, now the main part of the letter. This is what I would like Jesus to do for us. For me, I'm talking about. That is, say, you're doing this well, you're doing this well, you're doing this well, but you need to do this better. To this church, the most important thing, in fact, it's so important that they won't even exist anymore in Jesus' sight if they don't get this right. They have left their first love. So, you read this and say, So love is everything? I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. If you have love, is that the message? Well, it's the most important thing. A lawyer came to Jesus one day and said, "What's the greatest commandment?" He says this to test him. It's really a ridiculous thing that they did, was to test Jesus. Jesus said, "The great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And the second greatest, in case you don't know, is to love your neighbor as yourself." This sums up the law and the prophets. And when you think about it, it's really true. If I love the Lord my God with all my heart and soul and mind, you don't have to tell me to come to church and worship on the Lord's day. Or you don't have to tell me not to disrespect his name. And if I love my neighbor as myself, you don't have to tell me not to steal from him. Or not to, lust after his wife. Or wish I had his stuff. You don't have to tell me any of those things. If I love him like I love myself, that sums up the commandments. So Jesus says this is the greatest thing. Love is the greatest thing. And if you have lost your first love, in other words, if I'm not showing the love that I had at first, here comes a difficult question for all of us. Do I have the love for God and for Jesus that I had at first? I've baptized people, and there is nothing like the excitement that someone has when they give their life to Christ. And especially I'm talking about someone who's lived in sin for a long time, and they find their way back to the Lord. I baptized a big New York Italian Catholic boy one time, and I forgot that I had my mic on. And so after I baptized him, he said, "Tom, do you know how I feel?" I said, "Oh, I think so. Indestructible, that's how I feel." So the whole church, they're in the dipper, I'm out of the auditorium, but they hear him. Yeah, that first love, when you first find out that your sins are forgiven, Jesus loves you, you're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. That's great. But the first love, that's easy to slip away. It's not hard to identify the first love. I would drive my kids to high school sometimes, and you would see a young guy get out of a car, and he just stands and looks around and looks around. There's only one person he cares about if they're at school. When she gets there, he lights up, because it's first love. He's in high school. This is what he's been thinking about ever since he left school yesterday. Wonder how she's doing. That's first love. But then you say, later on after you've been married a long time, do you still have first love? Well, okay, not exactly. Not quite the same. I got used to this. And that's okay in a marriage. I mean, we go up and down. That's normal. But not our love for God. No. We can't lose our first love for Jesus. I was thinking about this one time. I had read this scripture. Sunday morning we go to church. Sunday afternoon we watch the Dallas Cowboys. That's what we did where I grew up. I watched them from the time that I was about 5 years old. I gave up about 10 years ago. But we watched the Dallas Cowboys. My dad and his brothers, my cousins, we all sat in the living room and watched the Dallas Cowboys. Sometimes on Thanksgiving, play the team that we hated the most, the Washington Redskins. So we cheered the Cowboys on. If a pass got intercepted, some of us fell out of our chairs on the floor. Oh, no! What's happening? We can't be losing to the Washington Redskins. Why do we act that way? Because we love the Dallas Cowboys. It's obvious, right? We imagine that they're depending on us to cheer them through the game. It should be just that obvious that we love Jesus Christ when we come together in worship. Amen? Amen? It ought to show in our song service. It ought to show in our prayers. It ought to show in our love for each other. It ought to be very obvious. It's obvious not only to Jesus. It's obvious to each other, right? It is. And so when Jesus speaks these words, I start examining myself. We should examine our church always, because we want to be a church, part of a church that's doing these other things. These are important. Knowing God's word is really important. watching out for each other and identifying sin among ourselves. It's really important. Standing up for Jesus and his name and the gospel, that's really important. But the most important thing is that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind. The Apostle Paul said this, and it's exactly what Jesus is saying to the churches. The Apostle Paul said, if I speak with the tongues, the languages, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, it's just noise. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I have all knowledge, and I know all mysteries, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give up everything that I own to the poor, and I even offer up my body to be burned, but I do not have love, profits me nothing. None of those things, especially when I read it. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I have all knowledge, and I know all mysteries, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, isn't that the ultimate thing? No. If I don't have love, all of that is just nothing. I might imagine myself to be great if I have all of those things. And in the church in Corinth, the tongues of men, that was a big deal. But even if I had the tongues of angels, not a big deal. And if you don't have love, it's just a bunch of noise. So when we examine the things that are said to this church, I examine my life. I hope you examine your life. Hope we as a group examine our church, because this is an extremely important thing. Our singing this morning was enthusiastic and wonderful. You know, partly because we had a good leader, but I hope partly because we love the Lord our God so much. The song that he led before I got up is one that I always remember. I had a professor in college, and he was probably the smartest guy I ever met. He would turn his Greek Bible upside down and read it in church. He was really, really smart. But I noticed sometimes when I was leading singing, he would sit on the front row, and the whole time he's sitting on the front row, he's studying his lesson, reading it over and over again. So one Sunday, I braved up and I said, you know, I noticed that you never sing in church. And he said, you know, Tom, I'm not like you. I feel like sometimes that you just get up and talk and talk and talk. I'm not like that. I really have to study. That was insulting. But I skipped over it. I said, no, I don't think it's okay. I mean, you do a lot of other commandments in the Bible, and we're supposed to sing when we're at church. And he said, well, also, I'm tone deaf. I don't even like to hear myself sing. And I know sometimes people kind of turn and glance at me when I sing in church, so I don't sing in church. I said, okay, whatever. So that day, I was the song leader. And before he got up, I sang the song that Ben led before I got up. Come we that love the Lord, let our joy join in the song, sweet. And then I paused before the second verse. So everybody looked up and looked around. And I looked at him. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heaven. After church, he said, all right, I got it. This is important. Important that we show the spirit that's inside of us, and important that we show our gratitude and show our love. If you're here this morning and this message touched you in some way, If you haven't given your life to Christ, it's our only hope out of this life. If you've given your life to Christ, but your first love is slipping away, all you have to do, Jesus said, is do the things that you used to do at first. Counselors say this to husbands and wives all the time. Oh, you're splitting up. That's terrible. Treat each other like you used to treat each other at first. To the wife, when you get in the pickup, scoot over next to him like you did when you were in high school. And to the husband, do special things for her. Remember her. Bring her things. Remember how you used to love each other? Do it again. In the church, Jesus says, that's all you have to do. Repent. This is serious. And do it again. If you're here this morning, you need to respond to the invitation. We hope you will while we stand and sing this song.